are the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus. We exalt you. You are above all, Lord. You are above Muhammad, Buddha, Krishna, all the lies and the false religions of this world, Lord. You are the one true God and the only Savior of mankind. We come to you today and we worship you. We praise you. We thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated this morning. We welcome everyone here to Fire and Grace Church. We welcome those listening by Blog Talk Radio, Mixler, and watching on Facebook Live this morning. Hopefully, be able to get through all of this. Again, I did not plan any of this way, but this is kind of a part three over the last few weeks. Just to let you know, next week we're going to have a guest speaker. I don't want anyone to miss my friend Troy from Montgomery. Mr. Troy Towns, he'll be with us. Known him a long time. He's definitely a preacher. He's got the gift of preach upon him. So he's going to be preaching next Sunday morning. So don't miss that. Amen. He's going to have a word from the Lord. I want everybody to take their Bibles, and we're going to turn this morning to Psalm 11 first. Psalm 11. Title of my message today is Mega Apostasy. Mega Apostasy. Not really a new theme for me, especially those of you who've been in Fire and Grace Church for any amount of time. I've tried to be very faithful to let you know what's going on out there in the world. And of course, this is part of Bible prophecy. Jesus foretold Matthew 24, verses 3 there. The apostles asked him, they said, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus spoke very clearly. He said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, or I am anointed, or I am of Christ. The word Christ means anointed one. So he's saying there, many would not come saying, I'm Jesus Christ. That wouldn't deceive us. He said, many would come saying, I am anointed. I'm an anointed one of Jesus Christ. And he said, Jesus said, take heed. Many will come in my name saying, I am the anointed one, or I am the anointed, and deceive many. So people would come in the name of Jesus and deceive many. Now, this is the first thing that Jesus said when his disciples said, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? So what he was saying was mass deception in the name of Jesus. Is that not what he said? Am I taking that too far? Now, let me say this. I've been very hard on some of these, the whole mega church philosophy, okay? Don't get me wrong when I talk about mega churches as if I'm lumping them all into one basket just because they're a big church. There are big churches that teach truth. As long as they are faithful to the Word of God and they teach the whole counsel of the Word of God, I'm fine with a church being a big church. That's fine. We actually need churches of all shapes and sizes, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that the philosophy of ministry that invaded the church a number of years ago, it started really, I would say, the father of this church growth cult, this seeker-sensitive, watered-down version of Christianity, really started with Robert Schuller, I believe. I would say Norman Vincent Peale, Robert Schuller, and then the men who followed Robert Schuller, Bill Hybels, Rick Warren, and many others, okay, including, as we're going to find out today, Andy Stanley, son of the Baptist, famous Baptist preacher, Charles Stanley, who was I guess he may still be the pastor. Is he still the pastor of First Baptist Church in Atlanta or not? He went through a divorce. I don't know. He stayed, and then I don't know if he's still there or not. But anyway, Charles Stanley was the the Baptist pastor at First Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, for many, many, many years. He may still be. I don't even know how many. It may have been 30 years. I don't know. His son, Andy Stanley, was on staff there for a while, then started his own church over, what is it, North Atlanta area somewhere. I don't know, but he's got churches all over that area, satellite churches. I have to say this morning that I am blown away. I am absolutely blown away by how far we are into the great falling away, the apostasy, the falling away from truth, that, you know, according to Wikipedia, Andy Stanley's church, North Point Church there in Atlanta, according to Wikipedia, it says 2014 says that as of 2014, it is the largest church in America, okay? So I guess he somehow has eclipsed Joel Osteen, Lakewood, in Houston. But regardless, think about that for just a second, that the two largest churches in America, tens of thousands of people attend these churches and their satellites, and millions more watch them on television, internet, YouTube, whatever. And these guys are completely away from God in the Bible. And I want to say this morning too. It does matter what they say, but I'm going to tell you, you can be a church and be in just as much deception on what you refuse to say, on what you refuse to teach. Right? It's not just teaching falsehoods, it's holding back truth. Right? Both are equally damaging to the people of God. Because God put it in here, and the Apostle Paul made it clear in the book of Acts. You know, he told them, he said, hey, I'm clear of the blood of all men, because I have declared unto you the whole counsel of God's word. I have not shunned, he said, to declare unto you. I've not hidden anything. I've not kept anything back from you. My job is to declare it from Genesis to the maps, every subject, every word, okay? So I'm blown away because, you know, in the last few weeks, I've been pretty hard on this whole contemporary megachurch philosophy, okay, the seeker-sensitive thing. Now, a lot of them will point to, well, we've grown big churches, or people have been saved in these churches. Remember Jesus said something about the Pharisees, and this is in Matthew 23, and I won't turn there just at this moment, but this is just kind of an introduction. You can go read the whole chapter if you want to. Matter of fact, that'd be good homework. Go read Matthew 23 and 24, right, if you hadn't in a while. But Jesus looked at the Pharisees, who were at the time the leaders of the correct and only correct religion of the world, right? They had the scriptures, the holy scriptures, the Torah, the law, the writings of Moses and the prophets and King David and the Psalms. And they were the head of the synagogues, right, and the temple. And they were the teachers of the law. And Jesus looks at them and he says, you guys, not false prophets, not false teachers, in the sense of they were in a false religion like Buddhism or Hinduism or Islam. But he says, you guys will go around land and sea to make one convert. And when you have made him, you have made him twofold or double the child of hell than yourself. Because whenever you go around land and sea to make a convert, like we'll find out, these people are going around the Word of God and the gospel and the truth and a lot of things. They avoid those things like the plague. They go around the Bible. They've got in this, their, as this article says, we'll look at here in a minute, in their obsession to engage the culture, they're leaving the scriptures. And they're creating another Jesus and another spirit and another gospel. Now, what's shocking to me, especially, we're going to play a clip here in a minute. You got that video ready? I'm going to let you see it for yourselves. pastor of either the largest church in America or one of the largest churches in America. And when you hear this, I want you to say his apostasy, his attack upon the Bible and the scriptures, it's not subtle. It's not a misunderstanding. I'm blown away. But I have never seen in my life. Now, we know the Bible is clear. The Bible warned us that people, God and his prophets and his apostles warned us that the world, the wicked, the unsaved, the heathen, the rebellious, the lawless, they would hate the truth. They would hate the light of Scripture, the truth of Scripture, the gospel message. They would hate Jesus because he's the light of the world. They'll hate the Bible because it is the lamp and light. I mean, that we're not surprised about. We shouldn't be shocked when the unsaved, the world, the wicked. I mean, I got Satanists and everybody. You want to talk about, you want the crazies to come out. Post a video on YouTube talking about the Bible. Boy, you get it all, man. I've got literally hundreds of comments and emails. Is it working? Okay, Facebook working. But man, some of the attacks against the Bible from the unsaved and Satanists and people on my page, just vicious. But what's shocking is when we see Christians or people who claim to be Christians, pastors with thousands of people who flock to their churches, say things like, get the spotlight off the Bible. Yeah. I want to read this, though, before we get into this. And we're not going to play it just yet. Just hold on with it. I love this quote from Martin Luther. He said here, whom God intends to destroy, he gives them leave to play with the Scripture. That's probably one of the best things he ever said right there. Right? Let's look at some Scriptures before we look at what Mr. Stanley has to say about the Bible. But I said Psalm 11, right? Verse 1. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. He says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hates. Upon the wicked shall he rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, and his countenance doth behold the upright. So here we have a good balanced psalm here about putting your trust in the Lord. But verse 3, when he says, if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? I've said this in weeks past, especially in my discussions about in sermons and messages about creation. There are certain things in our faith that are foundational issues. They're not side issues. They're not non-essential issues. We have foundational doctrines, foundational truth, foundation to Christianity and the revelation of God, period. One of them is creation and the Creator and what he says about that. Another issue, probably I would say the foremost, you want to talk about the greatest foundational issue that we have, is the Bible the inspired, infallible Word of God? You can't have it both ways. You can't say, well, I believe this part is and this part isn't. And this is foundational to Christianity because, as you're going to hear, this demon-possessed pastor, and yes, I said it, he's a demon-possessed deceiver, attack the Bible is no different than what the serpent did in the garden with Eve. The foundational attack in your life and against the church and against believers The attack is always going to be about the Word of God. The war is over the Word of God. The war is over the truth. And this is what the devil is out to rob from you. He's out to destroy the foundations of our faith. He's not just out to destroy some side issue that's not important. No, the devil knows better than that. He's got to go after the foundation. And if he can ever get you to get off of the foundations, then he will destroy you, no matter how righteous you have been. He's trying to destroy the foundation. Now, the Bible is clear. The Bible is clear that men did not write it. It said holy men of old, right, wrote these things as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So I'm going to say this. For instance, if you say about what the Bible says about creation and the cosmos, the moment you say, oh, they just didn't understand what we understand today, you've just said it. We don't believe the divine inspiration of Scripture. Right? If you say, well, I believe these parts of the Bible are true and accurate, but these aren't, you've just undermined what the Bible says about itself through its multiple authors who were inspired by God. Now, I want to read a few of these. Let's look at Psalm 12. Right after Psalm 11, it says this, King David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says this about the words of the Lord. Look at verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation and forever. Is that in your Bible? Everybody see that? Okay, here's the deal. The moment you say, we don't have the preserved Word of God, that God didn't preserve the accurate transmission of the Scriptures forever, that, oh yeah, they may have had them way, way back when, but not today. Or, well, you know, they were just men doing their best. The moment you say that, you throw this out the window. And I'm going to say right now, if you are a Christian and you say that the Scriptures are not divinely inspired and infallible, you are a heretic. You are a false teacher. You are a wolf. And you are causing people to stumble, and it would be better for you that a millstone were hung about your neck and you were cast into the sea, because you will bust hell wide open and you will stay there for all eternity. Mr. Andy Stanley, unless he repents, retracts, and redoes all of this damage that he is doing, this man will be in hell forever. This is not a game. People's eternal souls are at stake. And 1 Peter is very clear that we are born again by the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I mean, over and over and over again. He said it's by the foolishness of preaching that God has chosen to save those. The preaching of the Word of God, the written Word of God, the Logos. This is not optional if you are a Christian. It's really not optional for any person, but God's given you a free will. You can accept it or you can reject it. You can believe God or you can believe the heathen men out there trying to tell you it's not true, but you're going to believe one or the other. But now, these maniacs, these deceived individuals are not just in NASA or teaching in our universities. They're teaching in the biggest churches in America, Australia, Canada, all over the world. We are living in the age of deception. The spirit of deception and the spirit of Antichrist is taking over the world and the church. And there are so few anymore that actually understand, that have the revelation and the understanding that the Word of God is true. I was talking to a youth pastor from Arkansas just a couple of days ago. And he said, you know what? He said, us Christians, this is how strong we have to believe. If we walk outside and the sky is blue, but God's Word said it's purple, it's purple. Because guess what? God who made our eyes, go, you trust me. And all of a sudden he can take the veil off and, oh, I see the purple sky. You see what I'm saying? It's an illustration. But we finite, peon human beings, and so many think we can outfigure God. And see, I believe God does some of these things, like some of these things in the scriptures, the way he did it. Some people say, why didn't he make it more clear? So he could make the wicked stumble. God knows that your wicked heart, if you leave any wickedness or unbelief in there, he's left you enough rope to hang yourself. He hides just enough. That there has to be an element of faith. People are losing their faith. And people like Mr. Andy Stanley are helping them lose their faith. I want to read a few more passages, in fact, before we delve into this. Go with me to 2 Peter. Everybody turn to 2 Peter. Chapter 1, I love this. I mean, this should be elementary. What's amazing is, you want to talk about a level of dishonesty. Mr. Andy Stanley's church, North Point, on their page, their state of faith on their website, says they believe in the divine inspiration of Scripture, and that Scripture is without error. They say they believe that. But this guy gets up and gives an entire sermon where he denies that. So anybody goes to their website, oh, I'm looking for a church. Oh, yeah, they believe the Bible's inspired Word of God, infallible. And they go there, and they don't realize that their children, their teenagers and all, are going to be taught differently. Now, I'm going to say this too. Here's what's going to be the greater. He just gave this message just recently. I wonder if it's even going to affect the attendance of his church. This is how bad things. I believe his attendance will go up. Because this is what the liberal, unbelieving, lukewarm, dead Christian wants. And I'm going to be honest with you. I listen to the man talk, and all I pick up off of him is an effeminate spirit. We got too many girly men that are in pulpits in America. Girly men. I mean, I think most of them are homosexual. Most of them, I wouldn't be surprised if we find out later on he's a closet homosexual. The spirit is so strong upon him. You say, well, Pastor Dean, you shouldn't say that. Well, sorry. I'm just telling you what I think. You can think whatever you want. All right? How many have we found out, though? Usually when I see that spirit, it usually ends up manifesting itself. Now, I've known men that have that spirit, that effeminate spirit on them, and they weren't practicing homosexuals. But I tell you, it's not far away if you don't get it cast out of you. Right? 2 Peter chapter 1. Here's what the Apostle Peter, who walked with Jesus for 3 years, plus years. Verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now to say the Bible has errors or is not perfect or is not inspired by God or part of it is and part of it isn't, to say that, you're calling the Apostle Peter a liar. You're calling the Apostle Paul a liar. You're calling Jesus Christ a liar. You're calling King David a liar. You're throwing out everything. Blows my mind. Again, I understand the blasphemous, Satanist, wicked heathen. But not a Christian who's been born again at some point in their life. Or walked with the Lord for a matter of time. It is, folks, I'm telling you, it is a blasphemy, I believe, that folks may not be able to turn from. Because you know what? We're warned in both the book of Proverbs and the end of the book of Revelation, if you add to the word of God or take from the word of God, he says, if you add to it, I'm going to add to you the plagues that are written in this book. And if you take from it, I'm taking your name out of the book. The book of life, meaning eternal life. You're done. You're finished. And if you stand up and proclaim to be a pastor, a shepherd, a leader, a prophet, a teacher, an apostle, an evangelist, and you do this to the flock, you are done, sir. No excuse for this kind of deception, lies. You're going to see what I'm talking about. Let's go to another one. Should be common knowledge. I'm fired up today. I'm sorry. I get angry when I see the sheep, the people of God, well-meaning, younger believers, new believers, struggling believers. I hate seeing people stand up saying, I'm a man of God, I'm a pastor, I'm a teacher, I'm a woman of God, and then they teach you completely false stuff and cause people to stumble in sin or unbelief or not get what they need from the understanding the Bible and the truth of God's word. Heaven and hell is at stake here, people. Heaven and hell. Eternal damnation, eternal life. Eternal life in heaven with God who created us and our Savior Jesus Christ, the only way to make it to heaven, or eternity in hell suffering the torment and the smoke and the burning forever and ever. This is what's at stake. Like Pastor Deans, you shouldn't be so, sound so angry. It makes me nervous. I'm a man. Amen. I'm not a girly man. My wife can assure you of that. Huh? Cut down trees and shoot guns. Whatever's necessary. Yeah? Some of these pastors need to get out of the pulpit and just get in the woods and find God. Amen? My wife posted this great picture the other day. you know, the new hipster doofuses, right? They wear flannel shirts and they grow beards and they got funky short haircuts. And I love the picture said, if you, you know, if you can't cut down a tree, change a tire, or well, something else, should y'all say shoot a deer, you know, then please shave. Sorry, for real. 2 Timothy 3:16. In fact, we're going to read from about verse 12. The Apostle Paul giving instruction to a young pastor. Let's contrast what Andy Stanley was instructing young pastors to do versus what Paul instructed them to do, the Apostle Paul. Let's look at that. Well, that first, after you put the scripture up, that first, just part of that first article where he's talking about that. But 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, Paul speaking to, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaking to Timothy, a young pastor, giving instructions to him and to all pastors who would follow thereafter. He says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers. The word seducers means imposters. An imposter is someone who assumes an identity or a title in order to deceive you. He says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So what is his instructions? To not be deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's continue. And he says, and I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. This whole thing here, this warning of deception and deceivers, he says, remain in the Holy Scriptures. You've known the Holy Scriptures from a child. They are able to make you wise unto salvation. All Scripture, meaning Old Testament and New Testament, are given by inspiration of God. They are God-breathed through men who wrote them. And we have the accurate words of God today. The Dead Sea Scrolls proved that we have it. Great scholars and great archaeologists who have done the work, who have studied the ancient manuscripts, we have it. We don't just have it by faith. We have proof that the same Bible they had thousands of years ago, we have today. And yet here's Andy Stanley at a Southern Baptist conference. You can go ahead and put up the first part. I'm just going to read some of it. Southern Baptist conference. And whoever this is, the ERLC conference, right? The Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission conference, right? Stood up, and one of the things during his interview, he says that we need to get the spotlight off the Bible. Can you believe this? Yeah, here's what he says. He's being interviewed by Moore. He says, as though this response from Stanley wasn't egregious enough, right? He had just said some other terrible things. Moore allowed him to continue, and this is what Andy Stanley said. He said, I would ask, going down. He said, I would ask preachers and pastors and student pastors in their communications to get the spotlight off the Bible and back on the resurrection. I think you're on the wrong one. Yeah, it's that one. You can scroll down a little bit. Right, keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Right there. This is what I just read. So he said in the interview, I would ask preachers and pastors and student pastors in their communications to get the spotlight off the Bible. What did Paul tell the young pastor Timothy? Continue in the Holy Scriptures. Preach the Word of God, the written Word of God. Right? Now, before we go any further, let's hear. Y'all want to hear? I'm going to let y'all hear this morning a demon-possessed pastor who's deceiving millions of people. Let's hear what he has to say, and then we'll dig into this a little further. Go ahead and play that video, if you would, sir.
But actually, out of time. But
no, not this one. The other one.
Well, let's wrap it up.
On that one, at the bottom of, bottom of that page there. Get a little ring. I don't know what that's from.
Today is going to be complicated, okay? So I need you to think and I need you to track. If you listen casually, you will misunderstand me as hard as I've worked to make this as clear as possible. But I think what I'm going to talk about for the next few minutes is one of the most overlooked parts of the Christian faith. In fact, some of you are going to go, why didn't anyone tell me that before? I've never heard this before. And if you don't believe me, Google is your friend. I've not made any of this up, okay? I wouldn't do that. I'm not smart enough anyway. So I need you to listen really, really carefully. And the reason is this. Perhaps you were taught, as I was taught, Jesus loves me, this I know, and let's all finish it together for the – yes – this is where our trouble began. I didn't see anybody leave yet. Good. And here's why this is where our trouble began. And this is a precious song, and we should teach our children the song. But do you remember last week I said part of the problem is you grew up, but your faith didn't grow up with you. You grew up, but you outgrew your faith. Your childhood God could not withstand the rigors of adulthood and the questions of adulthood. And part of it is because our understanding of the Bible and our approach to Jesus did not grow up. And we find there's an extraordinary conflict of information and conflict of facts when it comes to the childhood version of Jesus in the Bible and what we learn as adults. So Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is problematic for adults. And here's why. Because the implication is the Bible is the reason we believe. The Bible is the reason we believe. In other words, I can believe that Jesus loves me because it's in the Bible. Well, how do you know Jesus loves me? Well, it's in the Bible. How are you confident that Jesus loves you? How can you say that? Because it's in the Bible. The Bible says it. I grew up with this. The Bible says it that... anybody fill in the blank? The Bible says it, that settles it. That's right. The Bible says it, that settles it. Now, when I say that, that's unsettling for some of you because that's your whole perspective on Christianity. The Bible says it, that settles it. So I want you to listen really, really careful, okay? Everybody listening? The problem with that is this. If the Bible is the foundation of our faith, as the Bible goes, so goes our faith. This is why you sent kids off to college or grandkids off to college and they came back with no faith. Because you sent them to college with the Bible says it, that settles it. And then a professor got up and says, well, there's problems with the Bible. And they begin to talk about things that maybe aren't true or historically, you know, verifiable. And your smart son or daughter that you spent thousands and thousands of dollars to get them educated come home and suddenly they're smarter than you. And they already thought they were smarter than you, but now they have a professor saying, hey, you really are smarter than your Sunday school teacher and your parents. If the Bible is the foundation of our faith, here's the problem. It is all or nothing. Christianity becomes a fragile house of cards religion. Christianity becomes a fragile house of cards that comes tumbling down when we discover that perhaps the walls of Jericho didn't. When somebody in a, you know, archaeology class or a historical, you know, an ancient history class says, you know, you may have heard in Sunday school that, you know, the Israelites marched around the walls of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. But, you know, we've excavated the city of Jericho and there's no evidence that the walls came tumbling down. By the way, while we're on it, there's no evidence that a Hebrew people, you know, made some sort of trek from Egypt to Canaan, what they call the Holy Land. There's no archaeological evidence of that. Do you know there are all kinds of contradictions in the Old Testament? There's all these facts and figures that don't add up from Kings to Chronicles to 1 and 2 Samuel. By the way, the Bible seems to teach that the earth is only 6,000 years old. Everybody knows that the earth is, you know, 4.5 or 4.55 billion years old. The universe is 14.5 billion years old. If the Bible... if the entire Bible isn't true, then the Bible isn't true. And if the Bible isn't true, Christianity comes tumbling down. So consequently, during your whole lifetime and during my whole lifetime, Christians have felt compelled to defend the Bible because the only way to defend the Christian faith is to defend the Bible. And what your students have discovered, and if you read broadly, you've discovered, it is next to impossible to defend the entire Bible. But if your Christianity hangs by the thread of proving that everything in the Bible is true, you may be able to hang on to it, but your kids and your grandkids and the next generation will not. Because this puts the Bible at the center of the debate. This puts the spotlight right on the Bible. Everything rises and falls on whether, not part, but all the Bible is true. And that's unfortunate, and as we're going to discover today, it is absolutely unnecessary.
Devil. That's a devil talking through a pastor. Demon-possessed. Couldn't have done the attack more efficiently than Satan himself. But see, he's wrong on so many of those issues. What he fails to tell you is that, yes, there's archaeological evidence that the walls of Jericho fell down.
Right.
I've been to Israel. Marlene's been to Israel. He fails to tell you that all of the apparent contradictions are just little translation things. The Old Testament, like there's thing about David and the what he paid for the threshing floor that became the Temple Mount. That's easily cleared up once you dig a little deeper in the Hebrew and clear it up. It's not full of contradiction. This is mind-blowing to hear this level of ignorance. To say something is true because everybody knows the universe is for it. Nobody knows that for sure. The question God asked Job, where were you when I laid the foundation? Were you there? So you don't know squat. It's all guesses and theories. Right? Can you believe he said it's unfortunate to believe the Bible as the inspired word of God? This is a pastor of one of the largest churches in America. I'm blown away. I'm absolutely blown away. I've studied this for 30 years. Solid study. Both history, archaeology, languages, manuscript. I've never found any problems. But I guess that's why I have a church of 30 people or less. And he has 36,000 plus. Six campuses. This is America. But see, what does it say? What did we just read a minute ago? The time would come when Christians, the people of God, would not endure sound doctrine, yet they would want to go to church and hear things. Fables. Right? My spirit is so grieved by this man. I'm blown away. I'm just blown away. That's why I got up this morning early to pray. And this was not on my mind to preach or share with you. But I prayed for about an hour, and at the end of that hour, I prayed in tongues in the spirit for a while. As I prayed in tongues, I completely had dismissed this from my mind. And the Lord, as I'm praying in the spirit, he brought it back to me. And he's like, Andy Stanley, deal with it. Okay. Now let me give you what Paul said. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. I said it last week. Even before I just found this stuff this week about Mr. Andy Stanley, the attack on the Bible. But I said last week, the war in the church is over the Word of God. And if you find yourself coming against the Word of Almighty God, you are not on my side. You are the enemy. There's only two sides, God's side and the devil's side.
For I am the Lord thy God. I say to my people, if you would seek me, I would bring my words to life to you. I would unveil your eyes. I would break off the bondages of deception, and you would see me. And you would know in the beginning was the Word, and I am the Word. Thus saith the Lord.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Paul said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye received and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. That's one for you, once saved, always saved, folks. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ, speaking of Jesus Christ, died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He's talking about all those Old Testament prophecies. Right? But I'll say this. I believe he's also referring to the Gospels at this point, which were already written. I'll show you in a minute where Peter said that even during the life of Paul, while Peter and Paul were still alive, Peter called Paul's writing Scriptures. Okay? So he says here, Paul said, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Remember, the Apostle Paul was an apostle, but he was not one of the apostles that walked with Jesus while he was physically here upon the earth for those years. Paul became an apostle later. Yes, he had an open vision of Jesus on the road to Damascus, but Paul was much like you and I. We didn't get to walk with Jesus for those 3.5 years he was on the earth, right? So where did the basis, the foundation of Paul's faith and his preaching, he's telling you that his foundation, everything about the gospel of Jesus Christ is based upon the Scriptures. I mean, I don't know how more clear you could get. And let us go to the gospel of Luke this morning, chapter 24. Let me tell you something. If that church, North Point, was full of true Christians who believed God's word, when he preached this, every single one of them would have got up and walked out. I didn't see anybody saying anything. In fact, if I'd have been in that service, I would have stood up and said, you're a heretic, a devil, a false teacher. I would have shouted it as loud as I could as I walked out the door. And I'd have said, if you people stay listening to this man, you are fools. People need to get some guts about them. Stand up to this lies and foolishness. Luke 24. Jesus appears to the people on the road to Damascus, but he hides who he is from them. Verse 36, we'll drop down to there and read from there. Well, actually, we'll back up a little more. Jesus appears to them Oh, goodness. Let's just go all the way back to verse 13. He said, behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things that had happened. They were talking about Jesus being crucified and all the stir of the women who came from the tomb and said he was risen. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And their eyes were holden that they should know him, should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them whose name is Cleopas answered and said to him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And yea, certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even as the women had said, but they saw him not. And then he, Jesus, said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Think about this. This is Jesus, and what does he say to them? Now, this is the Apostle Luke, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing his gospel. So is Luke's a liar then now, according to Andy Stanley? Because what does Jesus say? He says, oh fools, y'all think I'm tough. Oh fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did he leave out anything? Did he leave out Jericho or the plagues upon Egypt or the exodus through the wilderness? No, Jesus said, all that the prophets have spoken. You're a fool if you don't believe all the prophets have spoken. Oh my. Let's keep reading. Verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward the evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke and gave to them, and their eyes were opened. And they knew him. They realized it was Jesus. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? According to Andy Stanley, we don't need the scriptures anymore. It's unfortunate that we should believe the Bible. Not the way Jesus felt, not the way the Apostle Luke felt. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and he hath appeared to Simon, that's Simon Peter. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of the bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are ye troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Yeah, Andy Stanley's right about one thing. It is all or nothing. All or nothing when it comes to the Scriptures. You are not a Christian. I don't care. You can call yourself a Christian. You can go to church 52 weeks a year. You can be baptized, sprinkled, confirmed, go to Ash Wednesday. You know what I'm saying? You can do it all. But if you say, I don't believe the Bible, I don't believe all the Bible, you just revealed who you are. See, I want to say this to you. Anybody that's truly born again, Paul said it, and I've experienced it, I've walked it long enough to know that everyone who's believed the gospel, God has given them a gift of faith. Now, again, it's not blind faith. But there's a gift of faith that you know that God is true, and every man that would come against that is a liar. See, as we've been discovering, even about creation, men are liars. They're lying. I mean, I'm telling you, if you still believe in the moon landing, you are drinking the Kool-Aid of a bunch of liars. There's so much evidence to disprove that, it's almost laughable that any of us believed it for any amount of time, right? Why would we trust people we know are liars? I like when somebody had a little meme, whatever, about conspiracy theorists. They said, conspiracy theorist, a person who questions the validity of known liars. Right? Forbid, you know, God forbid we should question people who lie. My goodness gracious. Right? I don't trust one government in the world. And if you do, God help your precious soul, or as we say in the South, bless your darling heart. Well, what Kenneth said, bless your darling stupid head. Right? Mr. Andy, he got worse. I mean, we just saw a clip there, of course. He said, here's another quote from him. He said, I might republish all the Bibles. They asked him, what if you were the evangelical pope and you could just make a decree and anything the way you want? He said, well, I might republish all the Bibles and call the first half of God's covenant with ancient Israel, and the second half, God's covenant with the world, because the way we talk about the Scriptures is confusing to unchurched people. That's one thing he said. It's really mind-blowing. He tells young preachers, pastors, get the spotlight off the Bible, right? I got a CNN article. And I read the whole thing. There was this big, you know, division between him and his father. Not over this, but over how the divorce issue was being handled. And people wanted it, you know, people wanted Charles Stanley to resign from First Baptist Church, and he didn't want to resign. And I mean, it just, you know. And so him and his son had a big falling out over that. I hope there's a falling out over this, if Charles Stanley has any faith about himself. 58-year-old man wearing skinny jeans. Something wrong with that. Y'all thought I was joking about that last week. Did y'all see that? It's frightening. Here's a few more quotes. Christianity does not exist because of the Bible. Christianity does not exist because of the Bible. That's a quote from him. I mean, I'm just scrolling through a few here. That's one. Let's see. Here's another one. They did not make copies of the Gospels because they believed they were inspired. This is in his little talk, the rest of it. I have the little picture. You can put it up there. It's in that second article, about halfway down. They did not make copies of the Gospels because they believed they were inspired. Can y'all believe that such an attack, such demonic, there's Christianity, he said, doesn't exist because of the Bible. And yet, according to Paul, he said that Christ died for our sins according to the Bible. Paul said Christ rose from the dead the third day according to the Bible. All foretold in the Old Testament, by the way. Let's keep going. I'll show you. Keep going. Well, you saw that. Keep going. Right here. Whoa. There you go. He said they did not make copies of the Gospels because they believe they're inspired. No, that's exactly why they did it. See, let me explain something to you. Everybody turn with me, and I'm going to close with this because I think I've made my point. Go to Matthew 23. I made reference to this earlier. Years ago, the Lord spoke something to me as I was reading this passage because I was saying, Lord, why? How is it? How is it that so many leaders, Christian leaders, can be so blind? And I don't even have time to get into this, but I saw where the head of the Assemblies of God is now endorsing and getting into contemplative prayer and doing a conference with a known heretic named Leonard Sweet of the Emerging Churchmen. We're seeing major. I'm not just picking on Southern Baptists. This guy's a Southern Baptist product, and now we're seeing the Assemblies of God, the largest Pentecostal denomination in the world, have a leader that's leading them astray. The Charismatic Church has long gotten off with Rick Joyner and the rest of those hooligans. We really are seeing mass deception in the name of Jesus. Of course, the Pope's the leader of it all, right? The Catholic Church is the leader of all that deception in the name of Jesus, right? But Matthew 23, I'm going to show you the motivation. This is why. I was reading this one day. This is Jesus' rebuke of the Pharisees, verse 1. You know, a lot of people have told me I shouldn't rebuke people or name people or do things publicly, but Jesus did it, so I'm in good company. All right? And here's what he said. I love this. Matthew 23, verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude. What? In private? No, to the multitude. Jesus spake to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, or Moses' authority. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe and that ye observe and do, but do not after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens, grievous to be borne, and they lay them upon men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But here's the motivation. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad phylacteries, that means they fancy garments or skinny jeans, take your pick, dog collars, gold embroidered robes, whatever you want to say, right? They enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the uppermost rooms at the feast, the chief seats in the synagogues. They want to be called rabbi, rabbi, and so on and so forth. But as I was reading this, and of course Jesus goes on to rebuke them and about everything they were doing wrong in leading God's people. That they told them they were snakes, vipers. Told them they were whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. That they were hypocrites. When Jesus did not mince words with these religious leaders, the rabbis, the pastors of the day, the spiritual leaders of the people of God, the people of Israel, Jesus let them know. But he exposed what motivated everything they did. He said, everything they do that all their works they do, verse 5, to be seen of men. It has to look successful. It's got to look big. They enlarge the borders of the garments. It's got to look big. It's got to look successful. So the motivation is not to stand for the truth of God, even if people run away from it, or to be persecuted. It is to do everything in a way that you can be seen and adored and looked up to by other men and women. See, whenever a pastor waters the Bible to keep you in a chair or a pew, the motive of his heart just got it revealed. It isn't about Jesus. It isn't about the gospel. It isn't about the word of God. It isn't about standing for the truth. It's about numbers and money and ego being seen. All right? That's the only way. And you know, Americans, we're suckers. We are absolute suckers for anybody who brags on themselves or lifts themselves up, aren't we? I mean, we really do. It is an American trait, right? Who was it? I can't remember the guy that said it. It ain't bragging if you can do it, right? America, we're good at bragging. We're good at sticking our chest out. And for that, you know, I understand. Wanting to win. Wanting to succeed. No problem with that. You know, here's the thing. I wish we could see 1,000 people, 2,000 people, 3,000, truly born again, truly repent of their sin, truly become disciples of Jesus, and that we were able to find them in 5 years and 10 years. I would love that. The Brownsville Revival saw that happen. A true revival happened. But folks, I'm not going to water it down to get a crowd so I can have a fancy house in a gated community in Atlanta, Georgia, or in Chicago, Bill Hybels, or in California, Rick Warren. I mean, the father of all these guys, right, the father of this entire movement, Mr. Robert Schuller, who has now passed into his reward in hell, built a $20 million in the 80s, early 80s, a $20 million church that seated 1,200 people. He made it out of glass, crystal, the Crystal Cathedral. All to attract people. It's an amusement park. Six Flags. Robert was telling me there's a church in Detroit that has a water park built inside the church. A water park. I'm like, a water park? It's insanity, you guys. We talked to our Canadian friends on both sides of the country, and they're like, there's no churches. There's just virtually no churches that preach the truth anymore. They left the church. One of the families left the church not too long ago because a new pastor came in, and this was his entire philosophy. Andy Stanley, Bill Hybels, Rick Warren, Robert Schuller, here's what we're going to do. To build, it's the same philosophy. I've watched it. Listen, I preached a series on this in 1998. Right? It's sad. It's really sad. It really disturbs me. I hope it disturbs you. You know, I guess I ought to be careful here. Well, I recently saw another mega church that I thought might be pretty good. And I thought, I'm like, they preach the message on the Holy Spirit and Acts chapter 2 and didn't mention, even mention gift or anything about that. I'm like, how do you do that? And I'm not talking about the one down the road here that did it a few years ago. I guess First Baptist did it here. I did a whole series on the book of Acts, and tongues is never mentioned, or the gifts of the Holy Spirit never mentioned. So again, it's not always, I'm going to say it one more time, it's not always what they say. A lot of times it's what they don't say. See, I would be guilty of deceiving you if I told you something that wasn't true, but I would also be guilty as a pastor if I held back truth. I want you to think about that. There's a lot of churches out there. There's a lot of pastors. There's a lot of Christian leaders who will not tell their people the whole truth because they know they would walk out the door, or they would lose their job, or they would be persecuted a little bit. You know, if I've got to sell my soul for nickels and noses, it's time for me to get out of the ministry. I'm going to sell out God's word, God's truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the true gospel. If I'm going to sell it out so I can get money and fame and big churches, if I'm going to do that, why don't I just go back to the world? Instead of continuing to be a fake like this guy. You know what's sad is? He probably really believes he's helping Christians because he's got a new idea about how it should be. I don't know about y'all. This ought to disturb you on a deep level. And listen, what's bad is it's not just these guys with these big churches like Andy Stanley or the Hillsongs pastor. What's his name? Brian Houston. It's not just these guys, but it's how many other pastors and leaders who so want to be as successful as they are, that are reading their books and going to their conferences and listening to every message and trying to implement every little technique and trick and idea into their church so that they can have the same big ministry. And I see these guys, and you know what's so sad? A lot of them started out right. They started out with sincere hearts. They obeyed God. They answered the call of God. They studied the Bible. They answered the call to be a Christian leader. And somewhere along the way, their motivation to stand up for God's truth and to make real disciples, their motivation got twisted by Satan. And their lust and their idolatry for success in the ministry became the motivating factor instead of the truth of God's word. It's sad. But these idolaters, you know, 1 Corinthians 5 makes it very clear. It doesn't matter what your idol is. Some people have an idol. Pastors have an idol to make a big church. That's their idol. Or to have a certain salary. Or to have a certain house in a certain neighborhood. Or to have a certain publishing company publish their book. The Bible says no idolater will enter the kingdom of heaven. Can't have an idol. You want me to tell you how you know you have an idol? When somebody gives you scripture or tells you the truth about a matter biblically, soundly, and you get upset about it. I can expose people's idols. They have theological idols, religious idols. They got pastors and Christian leaders who are their idols. Oh, just like, boy, you want to talk about, when I tell the truth about Mike Bickle and Rick Joyner, woohoo, these people that got them set up on this pedestal, they get real mad. Mine's, if I tell you the truth, if I can back it up, I tell you the truth. Here's the truth. Here's what they said. Here's what they teach. Here's what they believe. And this is deception. This is danger. This is evil. This is causing people to stumble. And you go, oh, but they talk about Jesus. Oh, but they got a big ministry. They got a TV ministry. You have an idol. If I say something bad about a denomination and it upsets you, if it's true, I can understand if I'm lying. If I was lying about your favorite church denomination out there and that made you mad, I can understand. But if I tell you the truth, what they really teach and what they really believe and what their leaders are doing, if I tell you the truth and you get mad at me, who has the problem? Who has something set above the Word of God, right? I love exposing people's idols. See, Christians got a lot of idols in their heart. Ezekiel talks about that, 14. Talks about having idols in your heart, hidden away. They're not, you know, you don't have a statue. You may not have a statue of Buddha in your house. But don't say anything bad about Joel Osteen. Don't tell me he said that everybody's going to heaven. Don't tell me he said that God's okay with homosexuality. He doesn't have a problem with that. Don't tell me the truth, because, you know, I don't want to get my butt out of bed and go to a church somewhere that's going to tell me the truth. I want to sit here and let Joel tell me how wonderful I am and that I'm going to heaven no matter what. So I say something about Joel and you get upset. The question you need to ask is it true? If it's true, then you have a problem. So there's a bunch of people out there love Andy. I thank God his church, he tried to start one here in Auburn. It didn't work out. I'm glad it didn't work out. But you know what? What y'all don't know is the denominations out there now are so far gone. Presbyterian, Methodist, Lutherans. Homosexuality and the acceptance of it or not is really also is a dividing line that God is allowing to show who's who. Right? Well, I guess I need to quit. Y'all getting lunch antsy, I think, or something like that. Well, especially we got to let, you know, somebody needs to feed somebody else. So well, amen. Look, I love y'all. As I was just reading this, as I was just reading these things, as I was reading Luke 24 a minute ago, I mean, I really had to fight back tears because my heart is so grieved for so many people that are so deceived and being so led astray by churches and pastors. I mean, I understand if you want to believe the NASA's fake pictures of the Earth. I understand that. Go ahead. Go ahead on with you. Bad self. All right. But these pastors. I mean, the video we watched of him, I could go down through every single part of that and show where he just lying. He's either ignorant or lying on purpose. But he shouldn't be a pastor. I don't know. I wouldn't buy a used car from him. Lie in the name of Jesus. You'll get up and lie to sell a car, that's for sure. Let's stand this morning. Tell you what. What was that last song we did? Let's do that. Throw that fair use up real quick. Federal law. 107. Facebook. Robot that's reading. It is a robot that reads that, by the way. It can read.
Carry it on. So wake up.
I feel like I'm supposed to pray for you. I know you had something going on with your jaw. Your parents told me about it, but I just feel I'm supposed to pray for you this morning. So come on up here. Or is it your sister? Two? Right here? Gum? Okay. Hallelujah. Believe for this. Father, we just anoint this young man with oil right now.